Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 14. I read for you again these words. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Two passages from God's Word should be kept in mind as we consider this text. First, St. Paul writes, "By the grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And the second, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In today's gospel, Jesus first teaches that it is always good and right to show mercy, even on the Sabbath. That's easy enough to see. Jesus is sitting at Sabbath brunch in the house of a leader of the Pharisees. And while there, a man with dropsy comes before him. This man suffered from an affliction that we know better as edema. It's a swelling caused by the accumulation of excess water in some part of the body. It's usually the result of heart or a kidney problem. It's often quite painful, and if not treated, can lead to a horrible death. So, we would naturally expect Jesus to heal this man. But again, he's dining at the home of a Pharisee, and it's the Sabbath. They were watching him closely to see what he would do. After all, the Sabbath was a day of rest, and no work was to be done. So if Jesus healed the man, he would be accused of breaking the Sabbath. If he did not heal him, he would be thought to be unable to do so, or at least he would be thought to be unmerciful. Either way, Jesus would seem to be in the wrong. So Jesus puts them on the spot and asks if it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not. He puts the ball in their court. If they said, yes, it is lawful, which it is, then they would have nothing to accuse Jesus of if he healed the man. If they said, no, that it is not lawful to heal on the Sabbath, then their own hypocrisy and lovelessness would be revealed. So, in their cowardice, they refused to answer and said nothing. And then once Jesus healed the man and asked them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" They were caught in their hypocrisy. But of course, they all would, and they wouldn't think twice that it was a violation of the Sabbath. Thus, this healing was an object lesson as well as an act of mercy. For the Pharisees also suffered from a dropsy of sorts. That is, they suffered from a swelling of pride, as we often see. And so do we. You see, pride is that first and chief sin, for it comes from unbelief. It comes from thinking of oneself as superior, above all others, even God. So it was with Satan, the archangel, and don't forget that's what he is, who thought he could do a better job of governing the universe than God himself. And it was the problem of Adam and Eve as they sought to be like God and make of themselves more than they were. David's adultery with Bathsheba also has its roots in pride. "I'm the king," David said. "I can have anything I want." And yes, pride is often like that, boastful and presumptuous. It leads us to think more highly of ourselves and less of others than we ought. It leads us to seek to please only ourselves. It leads us to look for and dwell on other people's mistakes and sins. But pride also exhibited itself in haughty silence. This is the mask pride wears when it is exposed. So Adam hides behind a tree when God comes looking for him. And the Pharisees, whom Jesus corners at this dinner party, are likewise silent. For what can they say? They know that it is godly and good to heal on the Sabbath. They knew if one of their animals fell in a pit on the day of rest, that they would of course go after it and bring it to safety. But they are unwilling to concede anything to Jesus. They certainly don't want to admit that they are wrong. And so they sit there silent and staring. Too proud to repent, yet knowing they have been put in the wrong. And again, we're no better. Our pride is every bit as damnable as that of the Pharisees. We think we are good, pious people. We often think that we are better than others. We also watch others closely to catch them in some wrong, whether real or perceived. We too never want to admit that we're wrong, even when we are. We don't want to admit that someone else is right either. Our pride keeps us from true repentance by keeping silent to hide our guilt. Repent, beloved. Don't you see how foolish the poor old Pharisees look? There they sit, arms crossed, brows furrowed, gaze set straight ahead. They are every bit the picture of stubborn pride, the sort best displayed by a pouting four-year-old. And so that's how Jesus treats them. Like any good father, Jesus tries to get them out of their pouting by trying to get them to laugh at themselves. He's seen them jockeying for position at the table, and so he tells a parable. "When you go to a party," he says, "don't aim for the high seat. Be shrewd. The best way to make yourself look good is to aim so low that the host comes and moves you up. And then everyone will be really impressed. Be prideful by pretending to be humble. That's the way to do it. If the first are last and the last first, then make it a race to see who can get to the back of the line. See how well our Lord knows the human heart? Even our acts of humility are designed to make ourselves look better in the eyes of others. Who will heal us of our dropsy? Who will save us from our foolish pride? Look to Jesus, dear friends. Look to His words again and you find the answer. There, right at the end, He has tucked away a little piece of salvation. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Did you catch that? Everyone who exalts himself, everyone, many people, all men exalt themselves, including each of us. Even in their supposed humility, they jockey for position. But there is one, and one alone, who truly humbles himself. There is only one man who ever really reached down and emptied himself to others. And thus we see in Jesus what true humility looks like and what it really is. St. Paul put it this way. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Yes, beloved, Jesus humbled himself to death for your sake. What you could not do, he has done. He made himself nothing so that you might become everything. You are his dearest treasure, the treasure that the Lord came to seek. He bought you with his humility, with his blood, with his suffering, with his death. And when even all that could not hold him down, he was raised up from the grave. And when he was, he brought you with him. You see, your pride was too small. You wanted glory and honor among men, to be loved by your family and friends, and feared by your enemies. But God wants so much more for you. He wants you to be loved by himself and honored in the company of saints and angels. And so he raises you up with Christ. He baptizes you and makes you an heir of eternal life. See how foolish and small human pride is? How can it possibly compare with the riches God has showered upon you? You are the honored guest and bride at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. You are God's beloved. You are forgiven, free, lifted up and exalted, because Jesus has given you all of this by grace. So count every earthly pride, gain, riches, and honor as nothing. For they are nothing compared to with what you already have, the love of honor in God and a seat at His table. For He invites you to His feast, who cannot invite Him in return or do anything to repay Him. To Him be all glory, honor, and praise, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.